IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport. Hello and welcome back to Playing Catch Up. I am Hallie Griggs, joined by Rachel DiCecco and Alyssa Cometti. Ladies, we are in the postseason. It is Maverick May Madness. We are coming out of the second consecutive weekend of conference tournaments. So before we get into what lies ahead, let's take a look back. Rachel, what was the kind of biggest shock, surprise, upset that you saw happen in the conference tournament?
For me, it's St. Joe's upsetting Richmond. I felt like Richmond had a path to the A-10 championship, and St. Joe's was just like, nope, and then beat them pretty handily. So shout out to Alex Cahill and that squad for upsetting Richmond Spiders.
Richmond was definitely a team that was, you know, receiving votes and ranked for the majority of the season. So St. Joe's ultimately planting the major upset for them. I was very pleasantly surprised by Towson's performance in the CAA. You know, they certainly had some quality wins. Towson's been a team that battled it out. I think a one goal overtime loss to Drexel, who had been absolutely stealing everyone's lunch money in the CAA up till that point, really just, I almost like the way that it set the stage for Towson's journey in the NCAA tournament. So I'm going to go with that being the most pleasant surprise. Alyssa, round us out.
I think, and it's not quite as much of a surprise, but I think just Lehigh's performance in the Patriot League has been huge. You know, they had the crazy game against Army and Navy to get to the finals. I think that was just, you know, fun to watch and may not have been a surprise because they were having an awesome year, but just like a new face that was pretty cool to see.
And we were all tuned in. Rachel, I know that you sent me a picture. You were all cuddled up with your son watching the selection show in bed. And he must have been a fan because I know he loves men's and women's lacrosse. Mm-hmm. So it was a historic show for the women's game to join the men in primetime ESPNU. Sheehan, we love watching you. Keep it up.
Go, I mean, girl. Sheehan, she comes on the screen. I'm like, God, she's just still crushing it. Like, she has been crushing it since 2004 or 5, and she's just so always prepared. Like, she just represents the game so well. And like Jay, I love Jay Alter. He's great. He's really like invested himself in like learning the women's game and does a great job analyzing. And I was just really happy to see them included. But yeah, it was, you know, a huge step. We used to watch it on a tiny like computer screen, hoping it would be like catch the stream without hiccups, and really cool to have it on ESPNU with the, you know, with the men.
It was great. And Sheehan kind of on Twitter, she posted, it might have been Twitter or Instagram, maybe both. She posted a picture of her interviewing Kristen Chelman after Northwestern's first national championship win. Sheehan had like the chic blazer, it was like the most epic throwback picture. And of course, it was so great seeing, you know, a college age Chell, and now she has three kids and she's crushing it. But Sheehan, it was just like such a subtle reminder that she's been doing this and doing it so well for so long. I love the way that she's leading the way. So shout out Sheehan, we love you.
But she also doesn't age. That's what reminded me. I saw her, Chell, and Kelly. I'm like, she looks exactly the same. It's like, she's just
she's like younger.
She does. I don't.
It's like Benjamin Button. She ages in reverse. She looks great.
What are your secrets, Sheehan? DM us.
Some people have it all.
She's crushing it. I mean, it's just like when you turn on a game and you hear her voice, you're just like, oh, you know, like you just know. It's just like so comfortable, a little bit of home when Sheehan's calling the games. But I thought she did a great job.
She did. She unveiled the bracket, and it was definitely a little speedy towards the end as they were rattling off teams because this women's Division I bracket is so big. So, Rachel, let's go with you. It's always fun to play this game, especially the first couple of days after. Who was snubbed? And I kind of tee you up because you covered this conference in particular quite a bit.
Yeah, and I the Big Ten team, you know, teams. I think we talked about all season on broadcast about this conference being so strong, so their records were not going to reflect how good they were. And so particularly Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State beat Maryland twice. Ohio State beat Penn State twice. I mean, this, they've traded blows all year. And I think it hurts them in the long run because there's, you know, I look at, there's, I would say there's probably 8, 9, maybe 10 teams unseeded that both of those teams I think could beat pretty handily. And I appreciate the parity across conferences and bringing in some, you know, teams that maybe wouldn't have had an opportunity. And the committee's job this year was more difficult than normal, but I feel like they were snubbed and like really tough. And Hal, you mentioned it, like, for somebody like Jill Rizzo, who didn't play in the Big Ten tournament because of COVID protocol, like that's the way her career, like an incredibly, like amazing goalie at Ohio State on a team that's like rising, like just for her career to end that way. And Penn State, same thing. Like this, the Big Ten only really, I think, you know, it was kind of like the worst fears realized. They would have gotten in the regular year.
Absolutely. And Jill Rizzo, I was, when I saw the bracket and didn't see Ohio State, that was definitely a player that just my heart went out to. It's been so fun watching you play, Joe. And I know Liz Hogan's going to miss the swaggiest goalie out there, in her words. You know, I'm going to go with that. I could see both ways. You know, I think Colorado, again, you know, they had that recent loss to Denver, but they also had the win over Denver earlier in the season. You know, they have ASU and USC losses. They also have ASU and USC wins. So I feel like this is a team that had its ups and downs, but it, based on some of the other bubble teams that got in, you know, I do think Colorado could have made a strong run. And Virginia Tech, you know, yes, they had a loss to Davidson. They lost the ACC games they quote-unquote should have lost to. But then they have that Virginia win late in the year. And this is a team, again, I just don't think was able to find its consistency. They had some key injuries. They were in quarantine a couple of times. But I thought those two teams, you know, you could make arguments either way. But, yeah, in addition to, I think, the Big Ten being royally snubbed, those are a couple of teams that I thought they had their arguments to get in. Alyssa, round us out. Who else was snubbed? Or did we hit everyone?
I feel like you guys hit everyone, but I do – agree, especially with Rachel, with the Big Ten teams being snubbed. It's really hard to see, you know. And then I think we mentioned Albany, you know, having a great season and not being able to sneak in there as well. Just some interesting bubble team choices down the stretch. But, you know, it's a crazy year and it's tough to kind of put ourselves in the selection committee's shoes. But, you know, It is hard, and it's so hard to be, I've been on my freshman year on the side where you're not getting your name called, and it's just so heartbreaking. I remember hugging T. Latisor in Gary's house, and we're all just like, oh my gosh, like it's over. And it's just such a hard way to end your season, especially I think this year with the emotional roller coaster that it has been for these players. So my heart goes out to them, especially if they thought that they were having a chance to get in and didn't. It's really, really tough.
It's never easy to be watching and not hear your name called. There, you know, certainly were a few teams, and I'd say you call them surprises. It's not a bad thing. I always say if you're in, it's a pleasant surprise. Get ready to go. I was a little surprised Hofstra got in. You know, they're a team that they were 6-6. Certainly on the bubble. On the bubble alongside of them, you mentioned, was Albany. Albany has a huge, you know, greater than 10-goal win over the Pride. So if you're the Great Danes, you may be a little salty watching the Pride dance as you're, you know, checking your dancing shoes. you know, but they're a team that I'm actually excited for the first-round matchup. You know, one thing that this bracket has, they pieced together some first and potential second round matchups that either have never happened before in program history, or it's been years since we've seen them. So, you know, Hofstra, they're traveling to the Dome. They're taking on Loyola. They haven't played since 2007. Hofstra grabs that win. You know, this is an all-time series. They've only met 7 times, and they haven't met in a long time. So I think that, you know, some of these teams that did squeak in and paying homage to Rachel's alma mater, you know, the Ivy League's absence had a lot to do with that, I imagine, for some of these teams. So I think it did make for some exciting first round matchups. Rachel, what were some other surprises?
Yeah, I think when you looked at who didn't get in, you know, Temple had a good record. They had some really not so great losses to Florida. They lost to them three times, and they lost to Vandy pretty handily one time, and then close the other time. And I think, you know, we're gonna get to upset alert later, but I thought, you know, UConn was a little bit of a surprise as well, just in terms of their strength of schedule. I would say, you know, based on with some other teams that didn't get in, but. Those were my two surprises, but you'll see later why I'm going to be a hypocrite in like the next section about UConn. So go ahead.
Okay. Nothing like sounding hypocritical. I'm here for it.
Contradicting yourself.
Yep.
Alyssa, you teed up, we'll start with you on this one, a very interesting first round matchup as we look ahead. All of these first round games will be taking place on Friday. This first round matchup are probably two of the winningest teams in the bracket. Break it down.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for the Stanford-Denver matchup. Obviously, they're out west, so given the COVID situation, they haven't been able to really play that diverse of a schedule. But I think that this is, you know, the battle of the West for this this NCAA tournament, and so I'm really excited to see what they're going to end up with. I mean, both champions of their conferences, and I think they both could be kind of a little bit of a dark horse going into the tournament. I talked about it in my column on Saturday, and I just think, you know, because no one has seen them, it's like no one knows, are they really good because they've been beating everyone, or are they just, you know, average because they haven't played everyone, you know what I mean? And it'll be interesting, and I would lean towards they're really good, but you never know. It's going to be fun to see these teams who haven't played each other head to head this season, just like go at it. And so, you know, you see these early season matchups sometimes where they're tight because they're unfamiliar with the opponent. That could be happening when it's win or go home, which really makes it that much more dramatic.
It's definitely
going to
be a battle of the West. In the Midwest, the winner of that game will take on Northwestern. Rachel, what first round matchup are you most excited for?
I'm equally excited and kind of bummed that they're seeing each other in the first round. Drexel Rutgers. I love both of these teams. Melissa Lehman has done an incredible job in 2 years at Rutgers. We've talked in earlier episodes about the Drexel sort of culture and staff and that team. I think they're two rising teams and two teams that are gonna continue to make waves. I hate that one of them's going to knock the other one out this early on, but I'm really excited to see. I think they're pretty evenly matched, so I'm really excited to see them take each other on in the first round.
I'm going to round it out. Staying within the Big Ten, you know, I think that we've talked about the depth of this conference. I think Johns Hopkins has been a team that has been on the rise this year. Coach Tucker has done a great job with the Blue Jays. They came firing out of quarantine, which we've seen other teams struggle to do. So I think that those just shows the dedication of this team. And again, talk about a matchup. I'm a little bummed it's happening in the first round. They're taking on James Madison, a team that, again, struggled with some quarantine issues. This coaching staff, you know, Shelley Clay-Bokum, Haley Warden on staff, they know how to win, and they know how to win championships. You know, in a tight overtime game for Drexel, they know how to pull it out. They know how to win NCAA championships too. So I am really excited to see this matchup. I think it's unfair that North Carolina sees the winner of this team too. So as the number one seed in the tournament overall, you know, I definitely look at JMU Hopkins. Either one of those teams will give, if not could give, I think will give North Carolina a very good game and give them everything they have. If you're UNC, I don't even know which team you want to see. You know, you're probably just focusing on yourself and what you can control. But I'm expecting that this game is going to probably be one of the closest contested in the first round. We've talked about most intriguing matchups. Now let's talk about the seeded team. So this bracket, 2019, only 8 teams seeded. Rachel, what seeded team do you think has the toughest road to the Final Four?
I'm going to say Duke because of the Maryland matchup. I mean, Maryland is Maryland. Lizzie Colton, say no more about her. Hannah Lubecker, I mean, they are a young team, but they're going to show up at tournament time in a way that we probably haven't seen them this year. So, you know, I think they've used each game as an opportunity to get better. And, I mean, you speak about JMU having that experience. I mean, Maryland is a perennial powerhouse. So they're used to winning. They know what it feels like. They know how to win. So I think a second round matchup against Maryland is really tough for the Blue Devils.
Melissa, I don't even know. I hope you don't take mine, or else I'll have to go on the fly. But I'll open the floor to you. Who is the toughest road to the Final Four of these seeded teams?
I don't think I'm going to take yours, but I'm going to – you kind of touched on it. I think North Carolina does not have an easy road. I'm looking down the sheet. I have it in front of me right now. And I just feel like they're going to have to either face Stony Brook, Towson, Rutgers, Drexel, Hopkins, and Madison, and James Madison all at some point to get to the Final Four, which is a little crazy because all those teams are really good. And as the number one seed, you usually are able to be a little smoother, I guess I would say. And, you know, I know they handled Stony Brook early in the year, but something I think we may have mentioned was like Stony Brook had this crazy travel down there, not a lot of time to prepare. It was just kind of, we're going to play this game on a whim. And, you know, they're tough. Like they have a tough mental attitude about, you know, they kind of play with a chip on their shoulder. They're first of all, mad about the seed that they've gotten. So I've been not thrilled that they're on their side of the bracket. So, yeah, I definitely think that they don't have an easy road. So that's for sure.
They've certainly been thrown quite the gauntlet, and not to say they can't get through a gauntlet. Right. They've cruised through the ACC tournament. Right. But I'm going to stay in the ACC and be that super biased person on a podcast talking about their alma mater. I think Syracuse has a really tough road. You know, I think they've had a tough road this year. We were talking about it before this call. I think Gary Gate is a candidate for Coach of the Year with the obstacles and some adversity that team has had to face. To be able to earn a number three seed in a tournament and play the way Syracuse did through the ACC tournament without Emily Harris-Chuck and Megan Carney was remarkable. Do they have enough juice left to get past, you know, you look at the matchups happening in the Dome, Hofstra, Loyola. Loyola's 11-2, and I think that Loyola's much stronger than we all think right now. And I think it's because of the way that Syracuse came out and absolutely crushed them earlier in the season. They're a very different team since then. Loyola has all the pieces. They earned a top five preseason ranking. And I think they have all the pieces to make a deep run in this tournament. I think Loyola should be put on huge upset alert in this bracket. Do they have the schedule to show that they are a top eight seed right now? No, but that doesn't mean they're not capable of it. So, you know, I look at that one as a potential upset for a seeded team in the second round. And then you look ahead, Florida, Mercer, Vanderbilt, Jacksonville, the Southern teams battling in Gainesville. I'm excited to see potential, you know, Jacksonville, Florida rematch. Should Florida advance? Again, I think that they're kind of a team that they're very untested. And I think the biggest test we've seen, their effort, especially their defensive effort against Florida, against North Carolina earlier this season, just shows how strong Florida can be. I think Sarah Resnick is an ace in goal. So I think that those two teams are going to give Syracuse a tough run. And before we move on really from our bracket reaction, Alyssa, throwing it up to you, actually staying in Syracuse, I suppose. you were very upset LeBoyne wasn't included in the Division II bracket.
Yeah, so my shout out to Brenna Renone, one of my good buddies. She's coaching up at LeBoyne. I think it's been all over social media the past couple of days that LeBoyne just really, I can't imagine going in as a ranked team, number three, I think they were, just having one loss on the season to a strong perennial power in D2, and then that causing you to not make the tournament. That to me is a little wild. So I think they are probably the biggest snub across all divisions this year. I don't even know what to say about it. I'm confused at why one loss to a good team and a great program is enough to knock out a ranked team from the tournament.
It's interesting that the Division II bracket, unlike the D1 and the D3 bracket, is regionally driven. So you look at those regions. It's just crazy to think, just like you mentioned, not only Lemoyne not getting in as one of the top teams in the country, it's crazy to think that Lemoyne and Adelphi won't even be in the running for a D2 championship. You know, programs that have annually made trips to the semifinals, to the national championship game, it's going to be interesting. You know, you don't see the usual suspects in there. So it's, again, I was very confused. You look at the D3 bracket as well. It's just the at-large berth. I don't know if it could kind of help the Division III bracket. You know, I Division II bracket, the D1 and D3 brackets, if the strongest teams in the conference, you know, don't win the conference outright, they still get a great opportunity as an at-large berth. I understand wanting to, you know, grow the game and keeping the regional format in the Division II, but you almost wish that they had, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at-large bids to kind of get those other teams that didn't win in there. Looking ahead to the weekend, Rachel, you mentioned this team earlier, and you said you were going to contradict yourself, so let's have at it.
I was a little surprised to see UConn in there. No offense to UConn. I think just like some other teams, you know, in some tougher conferences, head-to-head would be better. I think they do have a recipe for success. My upsettler is UConn over UVA. Sydney Watson, Leila Price. I think they've had some good wins this year, which is ultimately what got them into the tournament, but like I've seen magic from them, and you know, sometimes you see like a team just clicking, you think like, wow, they could really kind of make it happen. And I've seen that from UConn a couple times this year. So my upset alert is UConn over the Cavaliers.
All right. Going with it. Contradicting yourself. I love it. Alyssa, who are you putting on upset alert?
So my upset alert is Stony Brook Towson. They played a really tight game earlier in the year. And, you know, I just was talking about Stony. I guess I'm contradicting myself as well, saying that, you know, Stony Brook is mad about their seed and they can be dangerous to UNC. But, you know, I think everyone in that, you know, part of the bracket for UNC could beat each other. So I think that should be a tight game. And we talked about how the tail end of Towson's season was really impressive and in large part or had a big part of how they got into the tournament. So I think that's going to be a tight one, and it's going to be definitely one that will be fun to watch.
Rachel, you mentioned it earlier. I think the upset alert that I'm looking at is a potential second round matchup. Happening in the first round, Duke is going to be the first ever meeting with Mount St. Mary's. Maryland and High Point are also pretty unfamiliar with each other. They've met just once in program history in the NCAA tournament, but whereas I do think the Mount and High Point can certainly challenge, Duke and Maryland advancing to meet in the second round, I think that that's the biggest upset alert happening for either seeded team. And it really has nothing to do with the way that Duke's playing. You know, they've certainly proved that they're a team and to be reckoned with their ACC showing this year. I just think Maryland is finally playing its best lacrosse of the season. And you saw that in the Big Ten tournament. The way that they challenged Northwestern, I cannot imagine Northwestern, again, looking ahead, if they were to advance to the quarterfinals, would be all too pleased to see Maryland for a fourth time. Every single time they played, Maryland's gotten closer and closer and better. So I think that Maryland is playing its best lacrosse of the year, and I don't think this will be the last weekend of lacrosse.
I mean, it's crazy to think that Maryland could potentially be an upset team, which is just like,
true.
I like have such a hard time, which it's, I mean, the way that they are seated, they technically would be upsetting Duke if they won, but it's just like, it's hard to talk that way about Maryland. But yeah, I mean, there is something to be said about for Northwestern. You know, you play a certain, a team, specific team so many times. It's like, eventually it's like, you never know what's going to happen with it. You know, my senior year, we played Maryland, I think 3 or 4 times. And we were like, this is the one. And it wasn't, but you know, it never was the one, but
it never happened.
Yeah. Going into the national championship, we're like, you can't beat a team 3 times, and you can. It turns out they could.
Turns out they can do it. It's but I mean, honestly, to the next point, you know, to round this episode out, we're going with our cruise control teams, and I'll kick it off because I have Northwestern on cruise control. And I think that it's just because, like, every lacrosse fan wants them to be on cruise control right now, because I think everyone is, you know, sure, you like the upset, but everyone's really been wanting to see the North Carolina and Northwestern matchup. And again, the only way that that happens is if those two teams go on cruise control. But yeah, you know, I think that Northwestern is a team that, if they have to see Maryland, they're the two winningest programs in this sport, men's and women's. You know, you look at what they've been able to do in the last decade and a half, there have not been two more prominent programs than those two. And they can't be happy. Rachel, you're the Big Ten queen of the podcast. That means they can't be happy that they could potentially see each other for a 4th time. It's kind of a shame that they would have to.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I feel like for both of them, I mean, I know, I'm sure Maryland wants a crack at them, but yeah, I mean, that's a tough, I mean, it's a tough matchup. I would have loved to see, I mean, again, I guess I'm just like, I'm all over the place here, but I think I want to see Hopkins get another crack at Maryland, because I feel like they came so close. Like, that matchup, I would have been down for a 4th one, but like, Maryland Northwestern, they've got 19 of the last 25 national championships. Like, that's insane.
It's played out.
Rachel, how many, who else has some in there?
I mean, I feel like UVA had one, JMU, maybe Princeton had a couple.
Yeah,
Some team in orange.
Some orange black team kind of came in there, shook it up. But yeah, I mean, it is played out. We've all seen it, right? Like, too many championships for those two. But I do appreciate, Hallie, to your call out, like, the committee allowing there to be a potential Northwestern UNC national championship. Because if we look at the season, those are the two best teams this year. Like, they've proven it. I think all season they've showed how incredibly strong they are. So I appreciate, like, I was worried they would end up in the same bracket and they would knock each other out in like the semis or quarters, whatever. So we are potentially going to get to see that, which I think we all want to see, but this season has been so awesome. Like, I think we're going to get some cool, like, some upsets in there, and you just don't know. Big Ten playing conference only, you know, they haven't seen other teams, like, outside, obviously, of who's in their conference. So they're just unfamiliar. There's a lot to what you said earlier. There's a lot of teams that are just, like, pretty unfamiliar with each other, haven't been in the tournament in, you know, 10, 15 years, or haven't played against the matchup they have. So I'm super psyched about it. But I'm going to – I do agree with you, though, in terms of, like, when I look at the top 4 seeds, like, Northwestern, I think Syracuse has a tough row. I think UNC does. And I do think – BC does as well because of that Notre Dame in there, but I'm with you on Northwestern in terms of cruise control.
Alyssa, bring us home. Who do you have cruising to Memorial Day weekend? Who are we going to see in Baltimore?
So I'm actually going to disagree with you, Rachel. I think Boston College has a pretty easy road. I just think with the way that they've played Notre Dame in the past, and they were so comfortable with them. Not to say that Notre Dame isn't going to come and fight, like, because they can. We've seen Notre Dame play extremely well, but I think the confidence that Boston College has at the tail end of the season, and how they're getting their—it's hard to call, like, Kara Erbank and Bell Smith and Jen Medjid role players because they're stars, but you know, the people that play around Charlotte North, how well they're playing right now is so dangerous that I think, you know, it's going to take Notre Dame, Virginia, you know, all the UMass, all those teams, their absolute best game to beat Boston College. And so I can see that Boston College will make the Final Four.
It's going to be an interesting weekend. You know, I remember my senior year, seeing the bracket, and again, just talk about like probably unfounded confidence. Like, we were an unseeded team. We were on the road to Georgetown, potentially headed on the road to JMU, and we, that ended up happening, and we went down to JMU. And I just remember, like, the minute the bracket came out, we're like, oh, well, we're definitely, like, we're going to go to the Final Four. But, like, you know, it's just like you have, like,
oh, no.
Like, it's like, no, but it happened. It happened. Spoiler. And then, of course, we ran into Maryland. And as Alyssa mentioned, Syracuse can't beat Maryland. So it's Rachel almost just spit her drink out. It's like, but it's like there are so many teams out there that, you know, you play together, you practice together, you have the same dream and goals. There are a lot of teams in this bracket that are not seeded, that are hungry and confident. They are not confident, actually. They're sure that they're going to win this weekend. And that's what you love to see this time of year. You know, I think back to a few years ago when Navy upset North Carolina for the Final Four, mm-hmm. when BC put itself on the map and went to the Final Four and national championship for the first time. Alyssa, you mentioned it. I'll kick it back to you. You know, it's been a year where we haven't really seen a lot of these teams, and Rachel, certainly you can kind of chime in, like, we haven't seen a lot of these teams play, so our ranking this year may have been wildly off. This bracket might be very off or spot on. Like, I do think if any year is going to have the excitement that we saw that Navy Cinderella year, although they hate being called that, this is the year for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's hard to guess, you know, we're just truly guessing, like, on how, based off what you said last week, that the committee is basing it off of the eye test of who looks good. And it's just so hard to do that because you never know. I mean, gosh, is sometimes you watch a recruit's highlight tape and they look like an all-star, but then it's like, what type of defenders are they running around? What kind of, you know, you just don't know until you see the head-to-head. And so I'm excited, you know, and I feel like we could either see some massive blowouts or we could see some like crazy games. And, you know, I hope for the crazy games where it's like overtime and, you know, super exciting. But we, like you said, it could be spot on or way off. And there's just really, there's no way of knowing because there's no head to head.
I feel like this year of any year, like, expectations out the window. Like, if you're normally a perennial tournament team, like, you go in with this pressure expectation, okay, we need to win 1, 2, 3 games. But, like, all bets are off. I mean, these girls and these women have been through hell and back with COVID and lost last season. So I think there's going to be, like, a recklessness that they play with that, you know, they may not have had in a normal year because there's nothing to lose. Like, this is in some ways like a bonus year for some teams. They didn't think they were going to get it. Some of these women came back for their fifth year and are just like leaving it all out there more so than normal. So when you have really talented athletes playing with that mentality, I think we're in for a real treat.
Yeah. I think just to add to that, it's like, this is the most exciting part of the season every year. And, you know, now it feels like for a lot of these players that they're almost on like bonus time. You know, they didn't know they were going to have their fifth year. Now you're in the postseason and you wouldn't have been, or it's the first time that you've been there. It's like a lot of teams and players have nothing to lose. So it's just, you know, why not just go all out, fearless, confident. It's so awesome. It's awesome to see these teams just really break into the tournament. And, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit of experience to break into it for years to come.
It's going to be an exciting weekend for sure. And shout out to Alyssa. You hosted the first ever, what do we call it now? Lax Chats Live. Kerrigan Miller and Katie Hogue were amazing last night. The two of them, you can just like, I mean, I'm so old, but I just like want to be friends with them after watching that, like the way they're just joking around. And it seemed like the three of you were just like besties. And you figured out Instagram Live, so kudos to you.
Yeah, I had to YouTube it right before. I didn't know that you could only have one person join the Instagram live at a time. So every time I added Katie, it would knock off Kerrigan. Every time I added Kerrigan, I'm like, okay, well, maybe YouTube should tell you that.
Melissa, finally, Rachel, she was like, are you guys together? Can you just go?
So it was like the ceiling fan for like the first minute of it. I'm like, all right, well, these UNC stars, they have ceiling fans. They get hot. They need a fan. They're just like us. The stars.
You did an awesome job. And maybe next time Rachel can hop on. She can show you. Rachel was crushing it from the ACC tournament. She was on ESPN, ACC Network. I loved that, like, subtly, Rachel, I didn't even tell you this. I was going to tweet it, but I didn't, but I should have, because it was awesome. I loved that your Tawarcon troupe was, like, in the background.
I know, I was
this, like, mic drop.
Yeah.
I mean, to what she has to say.
The first game we did from her. I mean, the background, it's like right my background. I was like, okay, what do I want to see? What's behind me? And it was like my PLL coffee table book, which I love, my Unleashed hat, like my husband's flag from when he was deployed. And Mike Monaco's like, where is your Tawarcon? I'm like, it's here. It was at my parents' house until 2 months ago. They kept it for almost 20 years. My dad, like, I had to pry it out of his hands basically to get it. But he was like, put it in the background. What are you doing? And I was like, you think? He's like, I know. And so then I set up a little table, and it's just a funny thing that people see. But yeah, I'm proud of it. It's a beautiful trophy. So
you should be proud of it. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, she is a boss. Like, anything that, I mean, I listen to every word that comes out of your mouth, but like for those that might not know what you're capable of, like, that just was check just a subtle me. Reminder. Check it. We should have had, like, I don't know where your national championship rings were, but maybe like your Team USA jersey. I mean, I'm recording this from a closet. The back is like, my backdrop is like really not impressive, but I'm not that impressive, but you are. And I just,
stop
I
it.
Love
oh my gosh.
I love
Hallie, like, you're the hype, like, what I love about you, we're going to turn this into a love fest for a second. Like, you are, like, we talk about Shane being, like, the OG commentator. Like, you are the OG women's coverage reporter. Like, no one's been talking about women's lacrosse to the level of detail that you have for so long. And, like, what's happening now with podcasts and broadcasts, like, doesn't exist without you, like, continuing to make the conversations happen and, like, routinely report on the women's game. And then you create opportunities for other women. The only reason I got a broadcast opportunity is because you put my name in there. And, like, I obviously had to follow up and do a good job, but, like, you continually create opportunities for all of us. So, like, shout out for being just an amazing woman who makes everybody around her better.
Go Hallie.
Oh my gosh, I'm headed into the rest of the day feeling great. Well, it's important, right? I think that's, you know, we have, like, our little group chat, and even Tari and Amari, we're working on our spoiler alert to come. We're working on some staff debates this week. I am, like, a firm believer, and that's why I feel like this is just the three, this works out, the three of us. It's like everyone, you know, what's that, like, cliche saying? It's like, your light shines brighter if everyone else's does, or just because your light, her light shines bright doesn't mean yours doesn't. I'm totally butchering it, but I feel like that's, like, I read that somewhere in a Hallmark card, and it really rang true. So.
Must have been Pinterest or something.
It was definitely on my, you know, many pins. I don't even have Pinterest.
I owe it to Hallie for being number one at Syracuse, because on my official visit, there was another girl in my class that was also number one in high school. And so it just, like, had come up, and Hallie's like, well, Alyssa's the lefty, so she has to be. And I was like, yes. Like, I'm like,
and
conversation
now it's gonna
over.
Be like, it's going to be a sprint for our daughters who are the same age to get to Syracuse. And I'll be like, Dempsey, put it in your left.
Yeah, you are a lefty.
You are. No, okay. Now we're just going so off tangent. Thank you for joining us. We have so much fun chatting every week, and we'll be back next week. And my headphones.
We can still hear you.
Okay, great. All right. We will see you next week. Take care.
All right. First round.
Bye.
Bye.
IL Women Podcast. The source of her sport.